All right, so this is actually an article that that came out today. So I'm sure we'll find out more going on about it. But for what we know right now, so while the world is racing to get vaccinated, you know, everyone's talking about getting vaccinated for the Chinese virus. One country has shown the rest of us how it's done. By March of this year, 2021, Seychelles was one of the world's most vaccinated countries. Actually, 60% of the country had been vaccinated by that time. And yet, they inexplicably saw a sharp rise in the virus cases by mid-May. So just a couple of months, month and a half, after being the one of the top, you know, most 60% of our population is vaccinated, a month and a half later, they had this huge rise in Chinese virus cases. Well, how can this be? How could that be if they're vaccinated? Was it people coming into the country, something like that? No. As it turns out, the vaccines they took were from, yeah, you guessed it, China. China. So it came from China. Okay. I just, it's the elephant in the room. We got to say this. Did anyone not see this coming? Really? Like, seriously? Did you really not see this coming? When has anything from China worked properly? When has anything that we've ever gotten from China worked properly? Even the deadly Chinese virus has proven to be lackluster, infecting only 2% of Americans, killing 10% of those, as we talked about yesterday. As a deadly virus, it's pretty non-lethal. So, you know, this is coming from China. This vaccine is coming from China. You expect it to work against the Chinese virus? Sorry, but no. No, it's not going to. Of course it's not going to. Wouldn't surprise me at all if the, quote, virus, or the vaccine, quote, vaccine, was actually the virus. I started to say that backwards. It wouldn't matter at that point. They're interchangeable. It's coming from China. One's as good as the other. Of course you're going to get the Chinese virus if you willingly sign up to take the Chinese vaccine. As President Biden would say, come on, man. Of course. All right, like I said, that story will probably develop. We'll hear more about it. For now, that's all we really know, is that this vaccine from China is now being investigated. Of course, China's all upset and, you know, offended that anyone would question their vaccine. Of course, you know, because, yeah, China, that's how they act. And I'm talking about the government. Don't, you know, we're talking about governments here. We're talking about national and foreign policies and things like that. But as a government, they like to have control of their media, and they don't like it when somebody questions them on their stuff. So, of course, they're offended. But who didn't see that coming? Who did not? We need to send some Americans over there to say, hey, guys, hello, it came from China. It's not going to work. It's probably going to give you the virus. Oh, look, it did. Yeah, imagine that. All right, so anyway, before I get myself in more trouble, I'm going to cut out of here. We will have another episode tomorrow. And I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. I'll have to look at the news and see. I'm sure there will be plenty more stories to talk about, though. We'll find those out tomorrow. So until then, you all have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. So, U.S. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer was in the news today. Did you see that article? Another impeachment trial, you say? Oh, well, no, not this time. This time, he made the news for, using a word that, it just has some negative connotations for pretty much everyone. I'm talking, of course, about the R word that is often associated with the intellectually and developmentally disabled. Yeah, that word. So he said this word on a public newscast. He was on TV, live TV, and uttered the word. Of course, the hosts of the TV show, they were there to talk good about Chuck Schumer and talk about some good things that he was doing. So of course they didn't correct him, or say anything about it. And he just went on as if there wasn't anything wrong with what he had said. Here's the interesting bit though. You would think he said it in reference to President Trump, right? Or maybe Vladimir Putin or someone like that, to say that they were, no, actually, I guess technically if it was 1950, we would say that he used it in the proper context, but it isn't 1950. And so it wasn't the proper context, but he actually used it to describe children. Yes, children. Children with intellectual and or developmental disabilities. He was actually talking about kids with disabilities and referred to them in that way. But of course he apologized. Well, except he didn't. His spokesperson did. And the article that I read didn't even name the spokesperson. Poor person. Just, he puts out a press release and puts out a press release and that's it. But here's another part of it. It just gets deeper and uglier. To add insult to injury, the spokesperson went on to excuse the use of the word to imply that Schumer actually used it correctly because of the subject matter. That doesn't help. And so as one columnist that I read put it, quote, a better apology would have stressed that no one in the disability community deserves the pain that this language currently connotes, that there was no excuse for the Senate Majority Leader's ignorance, and that he won't utter the R word again. Yeah, that would have been a better apology. If you're going to apologize for saying a word that your party and your group of people specifically say is wrong, then don't defend the use of it, because that's just not going to, that would be like using the N word and then saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you, but you are black after all. Like that would just, no, that's not an apology. That's not an apology at all. That just makes it worse. Now let me be clear about something. Because I am a conservative, of course, this is conservative talk. I'm a conservative. I'm a free speech advocate. I absolutely support your right to say whatever you think. Now, understand, if you're in my house and you say something I don't like, I'm going to, I'm going to ask you to leave. I'm going to be nice and polite about it, obviously, But I'm not going to allow people to just say whatever they want in my house, because it's my house and I have the right to control that. But as far as your freedom to just express yourself, you want to write a newspaper article or you want to write a book or you want to make a movie or a song and you want to say stuff in that, you go right ahead. I'll disagree with it all day long, but you have the right to do that. Having said that, though, when your party, the Democrat Party is always big on that they're the ones advocating for protections against, minorities and people who have been marginalized, or that they would claim at least have been marginalized. And some have, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there aren't people who have been marginalized. There absolutely are. But when your party, well, is the one that's standing up to say that no, this kind of talk and this kind of behavior just isn't okay, then you shouldn't be the one using it. You should be calling it out. That's fine. If you're against it, you can call it out, and then I'll argue with you and say, no, free speech. And Chuck Schumer, free speech, absolutely, you can say that. But what does it say when you're going to say that word, but then also say people shouldn't say that word? Do as I say, not as I do. It's irony. It's the irony party. I've called the Democrats the irony party before, and they definitely are. They're just hypocrites. They just, they say things that they don't actually agree with, apparently, or else they wouldn't be doing these things. So yeah, great work there, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. I'm sure that Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi will be happy to defend you, just as she does terrorists in our own Congress. Different subject. I'll not talk about that right now. So we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, let's go back to President Biden. He's in the wrong business. We'll talk about that after the break. Okay, welcome back. So, President Biden, man, he's getting himself in trouble left and right. Every time he opens his mouth, he says something just flat out wrong. And before we get into the actual the story here, the hot topic here, did you see the pictures of him and Vladimir Putin? I mean, I've watched different videos about body language and communication, and and what the way that you present yourself, what it says about you. Any good politician should, honestly, because we all have little, habits or tics or things that maybe present us in not the best light, and so it's good to be aware of those and take control of that so that you don't convey a message to people that you're not actually wanting to convey, And I would have hoped that that our president would have learned that. But in these pictures of Joe Biden and Vladimir Putin sitting, in their chairs, a few feet apart, with their respective flags behind them and bookcase, in this actually tiny little room, but the pictures make it look all spacey and all formal and all cool. And but they you see Biden on the left side and Putin on the right, which for them would be reversed, but for the picture's sake, Putin's on the right there, and he's just so relaxed. I mean, you look up the picture, look it up. You can just see his body language says, I'm in control. I have control of this conversation. I have control of this environment. I am in control. He's just relaxed. He has no, he's not concerned about anything. Contrast that with President Biden on the other side. Legs crossed, tight, pulled tight, tight smile. Putin even looks like he's fallen asleep in one of the pictures. Like he's just so bored. But Biden is just all like tight and formal and, just making sure every hair's in place and that sort of thing. But it really looks like, you got the alpha male on one side and the beta on the other. And that's our president presenting himself. Now, you say what you want about President Trump with Putin. I guarantee in that sort of environment, that would have been I'm not saying that Trump would have necessarily put Putin in his place. I believe he would have, but even if not, they would have at least been equal. That Trump would not have allowed that. Trump would not it that was a definite play. That's the thing. It was a definite play by Putin. he knew what he was doing and he took advantage of the situation. And Biden had no, it was like he was just clueless to what was going on. Putin's owning him and he has no idea. And apparently I saw another story that said he even had notes, you know, so he was very tightly prepared. And just while Putin is just sort of off the cuff, he's just doing his thing, you know. And I mean, and don't get me wrong, I am not talking good about Putin as a person, as policies. He sucks. He absolutely does suck. He's a terrible person. Russia is committing, you know, atrocities, but you can't go to someone like that in a submissive pose and expect to make any changes. It's not going to happen, but that's what he did. So anyway, and that kind of ties in with this, because so they had a very long but unfruitful meeting. You know, both parties, Biden and Putin, you know, and their spokespeople, they're, you know, the people they have speaking for them, they all try to talk like, yeah, it's a good meeting. That's what they always do when heads of state meet like that. They always try to say, yeah, it was a good meeting, but it's all in generalities and they don't actually talk specifics. But basically it really wasn't, you know, it was a long meeting, but it didn't really end with anything. Yeah, Putin didn't change his attitude on anything. So, but talking to the press, Biden spoke confidently about pressuring Putin to back down. Okay, so then CNN chief White House correspondent Caitlin Collins, doing what you would expect a chief White House correspondent to do, what they always did with President Trump, she calls him on it. She questions it. She asks him why he's so confident, given that Putin has not buckled to pressure as of yet. So in other words, she's saying, I mean, you're saying that we can make him change his mind. We can make him back down, but he hasn't backed down yet. We've been doing things and he hasn't backed down yet. So why is this any different than what's happened in the past? And Biden comes unglued on her. Oh my gosh. Remember yesterday I talked about the 120 days. Yeah, it was something like that. I thought he was going to physically assault her. He actually came toward her with his finger pointing at her. Now, it's interesting to look at this Biden versus the Biden with Putin. The Biden with Putin was very submissive, very quiet, very reserved, just closed in, not aggressive at all. But he comes against a female reporter, and this is where it starts to make me angry, because it's a female reporter. You say what you want. You watch it. You watch him with females. He becomes dominant. You see him with that. That's why he's Pedo Joe, because he's so domineering over females, young females especially. And he does that to this reporter. He comes at her, physically comes at her, points his finger at her, and tells her, well, he cusses at her. I'm not even gonna quote him, but he cusses at her, just completely talks bad about her, asks her, what are you doing here, or something to that effect, or, you know, why are you doing what you're doing, something to that effect. So then she tries to clarify her question, because I imagine she's probably thinking, well, I guess he feels like I'm personally attacking him, and I'm not. I'm just asking questions that reporters should ask. So she clarifies the question to again say, because we've done and we've said things to Putin in the past and it hasn't changed anything, so why would it change now? And he tells her so condescendingly, it just boils my blood, so condescendingly, he says, well, if you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business. Really? Now, to her credit, she was strong. She was very strong in that situation. When she came back on him, she didn't fight with him, but she didn't back down either. She continued questioning. She continued talking. And even in the face of that, that would be hard for me to do, because I felt like that was going to come to blows. If I was there and he did that to me, I would probably be arrested for assaulting the president. But Because you just don't do that. You don't come at me with your finger waving in my face and telling me that I'm in the wrong business when I'm just questioning you about something that you just said. It's my right as a reporter to do that. And for you to act so condescendingly about it, you are in the wrong business, sir. President Biden, you are in the wrong business. You should not be president. You should not be in politics at all. So, of course, he apologized later, quote, surround apologized, saying that he shouldn't have been such a, quote, wise guy. Now, he's said this kind of thing before when he's been called out for stupid stuff that he said that people, you know, people say, oh, you shouldn't have said that. And he'll, oh, I shouldn't have been such a wise guy. He's playing it off like, oh, big deal. I'm just, you know, I'm a wise guy. I'm just cracking wise. Like, no, no, you're not. You're insulting. You're demeaning. You're a jerk. You're a jerk and an idiot. And you shouldn't be talking to people like that. Wise guy. Honestly, wise guy has the connotation of like, you know, a gang like in the 20s, you know. A gang member in the 20s, like mafia or something like that. You're a wise guy means like you're on the inside. And I don't know if that's what he meant. Because with those sunglasses, I think sometimes he tries to act like he is. But whatever he meant by it, he wasn't using it correctly. And he's not just cracking wise. He's being a jerk. But obviously, CNN being the credible news source that they are, well, they stuck to their guns and called Biden out for the trash talk, right? No, no. And this is where, like, I gave Collins credit just a second ago. I said that she was strong in the face of Biden doing that. But later, she said that she accepted his apology, but that he didn't have to apologize. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Of course he had to apologize. He should resign after that. Not just apologize, but resign. That was behavior uncalled for and unbecoming of a president of the United States. And she's like, oh, no biggie. Yeah. You know why no biggie? Because CNN. I bet I would lay money on this, that when she goes home and talks to her family about it, she doesn't say it was no big deal. But she has to say it's no big deal because she's part of the CNN machine. And they probably told her, now you play nice. I don't doubt that we don't see more from this in the future. But yeah, it upsets me so much that, oh, he didn't have to apologize. That's fine. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't, Ms. Collins. You did not deserve to be talked to like that. You did not deserve to be treated like that. You are a chief White House correspondent. That's something. And I stand up for you. If, you know, I would hope you'd stand up for yourself, but I will stand up for you because I defend your right to be spoken to respectfully. And somebody like Joe Biden should not be talking to you like that. He doesn't have that right, and he shouldn't do that. Okay, well, anyway, enough of that one. We'll take a break. When we come back, just talk a little bit about the Chinese vaccine doesn't prevent the Chinese virus. Can you believe that? The Chinese vaccine doesn't prevent the Chinese virus. So we'll talk about that after the break. All right, so this is actually an article that came out today, so I'm sure we'll find out more going on about it, but for what we know right now, so while the world is racing to get vaccinated, you know, everyone's talking about getting vaccinated for the Chinese virus, one country has shown the rest of us how it's done. By March of this year, 2021, Seychelles was one of the world's most vaccinated countries. Actually, 60% of the country had been vaccinated by that time. And yet, they inexp- inexplicably saw a sharp rise in the virus cases by mid-May. So just a couple of months, month and a half, after being the one of the top, you know, most 60% of our population is vaccinated, a month and a half later, they had this huge rise in Chinese virus cases. Well, how can this be? How could that be if they're vaccinated? Was it people coming into the country, something like that? No. As it turns out, the vaccines they took were from, yeah, you guessed it, China. China. So it came from China. Okay. I just, it's the elephant in the room. We got to say this. Did anyone not see this coming? Really? Like, seriously? Did you really not see this coming? When has anything from China worked properly? When has anything that we've ever gotten from China worked properly? Even the deadly Chinese virus has proven to be lackluster, infecting only 2% of Americans, killing 10% of those, as we talked about yesterday. As a deadly virus, it's pretty non-lethal. So, you know, this is coming from China. This vaccine is coming from China. You expect it to work against the Chinese virus? Sorry, but no. No, it's not going to. Of course it's not going to. Wouldn't surprise me at all if the, quote, virus, or the vaccine, quote, vaccine, was actually the virus. I started to say that backwards. It wouldn't matter at that point. They're interchangeable. It's coming from China. One's as good as the other. Of course, you're going to get the Chinese virus if you willingly sign up to take the Chinese vaccine. As President Biden would say, come on, man. Of course. All right, like I said, that story will probably develop. We'll hear more about it. For now, that's all we really know, is that this vaccine from China is now being investigated. Of course, China's all upset and, you know, offended that anyone would question their vaccine. Of course, you know, because, yeah, China, that's how they act. And I'm talking about the government. We're talking about governments here. We're talking about national and foreign policies and things like that. But as a government, they like to have control of their media, and they don't like it when somebody questions them on their stuff. So, of course, they're offended. But who didn't see that coming? Who did not? We need to send some Americans over there to say, hey, guys, hello, it came from China. It's not going to work. It's probably going to give you the virus. Oh, look, it did. Yeah, imagine that. All right, so anyway, before I get myself in more trouble, I'm going to cut out of here. We will have another episode tomorrow. And I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. I'll have to look at the news and see. I'm sure there will be plenty more stories to talk about, though. We'll find those out tomorrow. So until then, you all have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining me. This is Tim Arview with Conservative Talk. Had a really busy day, so I'm getting the podcast out a little bit late today. Apologies for that. Had a lot on my plate. And in the news, for some reason, it's a little bit quiet today. We do have a few things going on. I think our president learned from his mistakes and has kind of tried to keep himself out of the news today. But we do have a few stories. So we'll be talking about CNN, the new CNN foreign correspondent, Vlad Putin. He says that Biden is
completely knowledgeable on all issues. Awesome. And Billy Eyelash says, well, no one cares. And then finally, we'll be talking about how rabbis, over 200 rabbis, call on Pelosi to act against Ilhan Omar. I'll have those stories up after the break, so stick around. All right, welcome back. So, CNN has a new foreign correspondent, apparently. It is Russian President Vladimir Putin. saw a news article from CNN, which exclusively was just talking about how well Joe Biden did in his meeting with Vladimir Putin. And it was from the perspective of none other than Vladimir Putin himself, which, of course, you know, CNN has always been in support of and always favored. We know that anytime that Vladimir Putin said anything nice about Donald Trump, that CNN was, you know, on board with showing that and just talking nice about it and saying, see, we have a good president. Well, yeah, no, they didn't do that, did they? No. Anytime that happened, it was, oh, collusion. Oh, what's going on here? Oh, fearful hands. Oh. But when Putin says something nice about Biden, it's all, yeah, see? See, he's not as weak as you think he is. See, even Putin said so. Yeah. Anybody who doesn't know what's going on there, come on. You know, it's pretty obvious that that Putin's playing a strategy game, and it's working. He knows that the Biden's pretty much checked out. He's not the same man he used to be. Everyone can see it. I actually posted on my Facebook a comparison between it was two YouTube videos from CNN actually. From a body language expert that they had hired back with Trump's visit with Vladimir Putin compared to Biden's visit with Vladimir Putin. It was two different videos, two different times, several years apart. But just seeing what the body language expert said about Biden just really, really put a point on the pencil that I was using yesterday, talking about how that Biden is pretty much impotent on the international stage. People don't take him seriously, and it's costing Americans. It's costing us a lot. But yeah, so Putin said that that Biden was completely knowledgeable on all issues. And that, you know, he was well aware of what was going on, and he knew what he wanted and how to get it. And yeah, and he's telling everyone in Russia about it. He's going on a tour, apparently, everywhere he goes. Said he was at a school and he was telling some kids that the meeting was good. And, you know, but nothing came out of the meeting. We all know that now. And this was something that stuck out to me, that he said that he hopes the situation will change, quote, from recent years. Okay, do you not hear that? You hear what he's saying there? He's wanting a change from what he had to deal with Trump. If you look at the body language video between Putin and Trump, you will see a very submissive Putin. You will see a Putin who doesn't know how to stand up for himself. Putin's a bully. That's all there is to it. Putin's a bully. Biden's a bully too, but he's not nearly on the caliber of Putin as a bully. Trump knows how to deal with bullies, and he did it very well in his meeting with Putin, and probably any time he met with Putin. I only saw that one video. I mean, I've seen other videos where he's talking with Putin, but that one in particular, the summit, you know, them talking and meeting, it was very informative about the mindset of the two men, and that Putin saw Trump as a superior and someone to be feared and respected, versus Biden, that he sees as possibly an equal, but more likely as a subordinate. And I mean, I hate to say it, but rightly so. He's the president of the United States, but he certainly doesn't look the part or act the part. So yeah, I don't know. I think CNN had a slow news day, and so they're putting this out there, and they're asking their foreign correspondent Vlad Putin to give them some news, something they can put out there. It's just basically, it's pandering from the news side. We've seen pandering from politicians. I point out pandering from politicians. I like to do that. But this is pandering from the news side. It's just, you know, just putting out a news story to try to stir something up, and it really has no teeth to it at all. Like, what does that even mean? Why is CNN saying, you know, telling us what Putin thought of Biden? That doesn't affect us at all. He can say what he wants. We do need to be aware of it, but not in the way that they're presenting it. We need to be aware of it so that we know that Putin is no idiot, and that he's treating this situation with Biden exactly as someone who's holding all the cards would treat it. And so we need to be aware of that so that we are not caught with our pants down. Sadly, I think we will be, unless things change soon. But as it is, the situation is what it is, and there's not much that can be done about it at the moment, unless we just completely replace Biden, which I am in favor of, but it doesn't, you know, that's probably not going to happen in the extremely near future. That's the end of that one. That's all I really wanted to say about that. I just thought it was kind of humorous that CNN use Vladimir Putin as basically a foreign correspondent. So that's awesome. Thank you, CNN, for that story. We'll be back after the break. We'll be talking about the new entertainers and how relevant they are on the world stage. So we'll be back after the break. All right, so I would dare say that most of my listeners don't know who Billie Eilish is. And I don't know a whole lot of her story because it's just not the kind of music that I'm a fan of. But she is a singer, songwriter, pretty talented from what I understand. Like I said, I don't really know. It's not my style of music. But for such a young age, I think she is... you know, she's making a name for herself. She's doing pretty well. She's not totally out there like some of them, you know. She comes out with some, you know, hair color. But that's, you know, that's whatever it is. But she's not like some super radical. I wouldn't call her anything like that. She's, as far as I know, she's not claiming to be any kind of gender fluid or gender neutral or anything like that. You know, like she's pretty normal as far as that goes. But here's the thing. She and the story that I read gave very little detail on this. And like I said, it was a really busy day, so I didn't have a lot of time to dig into it. I probably will just for my own curiosity here. But apparently she said something either on a talk show interview, something like that. And she used a racial slur. And anytime I hear somebody say that, I always think, what was it? You know, or like yesterday when I said, used the R word. Whoa, what was it? What was it? And so I got to, you know, what was the slur that she used? Well, it's one that I have definitely heard. It's against mostly Chinese people. But since people who use racist terms tend to confuse nationalities, I would say it's been used against pretty much any Asian person. And it's, you know, if you have armor and the armor is not suitable Typically, you will say that it has a defect, but it's the word for that defect. I'll try to be nice and not say anything like that. But it starts with a CH. Yeah. So you know that word. So apparently she said it, and she said it with I don't know, some sort of Asian accent, Chinese. I don't know what accent she was either trying to use or being accused of using. I don't know. But apparently, because they are different. But as Americans, we typically, as European Americans especially, we typically wouldn't know that. It'd be like trying to differentiate between Canadian and you know, the United States in dialect, or between Wales and Ireland. You know, some people may have trouble telling those apart, and that's, you know, whatever, it's understandable. But anyway, she was accused of using an accent, and when she used the word, and so, like I said, I don't know the full context of it, but here's the real thing about it is, why do we care? Why was the, and I know I'm talking about it, but I'm talking about it from the perspective of saying, why was it even in the news? You know, my story is not about her, because, like I said, I don't even know the context of the story or anything. My story, what I'm talking about, is why was it even brought up? Why are people even looking at this? Why do we care what she says? She didn't say it to me, so I don't care. And, oh, well, you're not Asian. Right, okay. But if, I don't know, if Vladimir Putin said Americans are stupid, I would just shrug it off and go, okay. And even if he tried to put on some kind of American accent, see, I'm laughing even thinking about it, because to me that would be comical. I wouldn't get upset about that. I'd laugh about it. It's funny. Like, what? Even if it was completely stupid and completely wrong, completely bigoted, it would just be like, well, okay, buddy, whatever. I'm not, you know, I don't get offended by that. It's funny. It's stupid. It's silly. So who cares? You know, all you people out there looking for the next celebrity to say something wrong, you know, give it up. Who cares? They didn't say it to you, so it doesn't matter. Now, you may call me, you know, hypocritical or something, because yesterday I talked about how, you know, Biden saying certain things, or Schumer was the one who said the R word. Yeah. That should bother me. Well, it's the same thing where I don't really care that he said it. I care that he's big on saying you shouldn't say it. Now, if Billie Eilish, we'll add that on here. If Billie Eilish said people shouldn't use racial slurs, if she made a big campaign out of that, that was her identity, was don't use racial slurs. And I'm sure if you asked her directly, if you ask anybody directly, should you use racial slurs, most people would say, yeah, probably not a good idea. Even if, you know, like me, they would say people have the freedom to say whatever they want to say. Just some things are smarter not to say in certain contexts, especially. But if it's like your whole identity to say these things are things we stand for and we just absolutely will not allow, and you know, how dare you say any kind of racial slur? If Billie Eilish was that kind of person, and then she says, then I would say, okay, look, you're a hypocrite. You know, so at worst, Billie Eilish was a hypocrite for doing this. But do I think that she's going to incite some kind of violence against Asians from this? No, not at all. For one, the people who are typically fans of Billie Eilish are not the type of people who would cause violence against anyone, really. I mean, I don't know, maybe Antifa likes her. I don't know. But the people I know, the people that the Democrats are afraid of, you know, those right-wing extremists, they don't listen to Billie Eilish. They don't, you know, they don't want anything to do with that kind of music. That's not their kind of music. So she's not really going to be a role model for them. She's not going to be an influence for them. So to say that she's somehow going to cause some rednecks from South Carolina to get some guns together and go shoot up a, you know, a family of Asians or something. That's just ridiculous. That's not going to happen from this. So it's really not newsworthy. That's two things so far. Not newsworthy. So my newsworthy things are the things aren't newsworthy. And why are they talking about them? All right. So that's, we'll end with that one, but well, not end with that one. We got another article coming up, to talk about, but, we'll go on a break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something a little more important. I feel like something that is kind of newsworthy. And, that has to do with, some of our, Congress people and how we're allowing terrorism in Congress. So, we'll get to that story after the break. Welcome back. So let's talk about Nancy Pelosi. Let's talk about Ilhan Omar. So this has been going on for a while. Ilhan Omar is a terrorist. She just is. She is not in favor of America at all. Her only purpose, it seems to me, to be in Congress is to push policies that would damage our relationship with Judeo-Christian countries and governments, which would be pretty much any democracy. Even if a country doesn't explicitly say that they are Christian, for example, something like Canada, they're, you know, they're pretty open religiously, probably more so than the United States. Yet, I would say that Ilhan Omar would even try to damage our relationship with them. She hasn't yet, but I'm sure that's, you know, that's coming, unless Canada sides with her and her ideals. But lately, the most recent thing is the attacks, the Hamas attacks on Israel, and then Israel defending herself. And there are people, collateral damage on both sides, people dying, you know, and I don't mean to demean that or devalue that at all. That is a terrible thing. It is always a terrible thing. You know, when Vietnam, when we found out a lot of what happened in Vietnam, we found out that the Viet Cong were sending children in to American troop camps, into our bases and our camps out there, with, you know, with grenades and with bombs and with guns and with knives and what have you. And so, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about it because it was just a very dark time for all of us, as a country and as a world, even as the world. But, some of those children were killed, you know, by American soldiers. And it wasn't out of malice towards these kids at all. It was the fact that they were saving American lives, and these kids were being sent in to destroy American lives and their own, you know. So, you know, either way, the child would have died. But in this situation, it just happens to be that Americans had to do what they had to do. And it was an unfortunate thing. And because of that, a lot of these soldiers had, you know, came back with PTSD and different issues and had struggles, and probably still do to this day. I don't doubt it, to this day, dealing with those sorts of things. So when I hear about, you know, Hamas uses civilians as human shields, I get the same kind of image that if you're being shot at from behind a group of people, no, you don't want to kill that group of people. You don't want to shoot those people. But you also can't just stand there and be shot at, you know. And in the case of the scenario that I'm presenting, you could move around to avoid the shots. But in the case of nation versus nation, land you know, they can't move. They're there. And so there's these rockets coming from Hamas, from the Palestinian side, and into Israel. And they are killing not just military targets, because they're a terrorist group. They don't go by military rules at all. They're just attacking, period. They don't care who it is. And so they're hitting civilians, they're hitting everybody with these rockets. And so then Israel has to defend herself. And so when she does, and they point out, you know, they find these targets, well, Hamas is hiding out in civilian areas. Well, what are they supposed to do? You know, so they do it as strategically, as surgically as they can. But at the same time, there are going to be some civilian casualties, and it's a terrible thing. But Israel is not to blame for this, because Hamas is the one who instigated the whole thing to begin with. And if Israel didn't respond, then Israel would be destroyed. So Israel can't just sit there and be destroyed simply because Hamas is choosing to fight the way they're choosing to fight. And so Ilhan Omar, she's taking the side of the Palestinians, as are the squad, you know, others in Congress, these questionably experienced and informed individuals who would stand against Israel and stand for Hamas and defend Hamas and say that, you know, I said young, but Bernie Sanders isn't that young. So I guess they're not all young. He would be the only one that isn't so far of who I've seen supporting this. But they're defending Hamas, and they're against Israel. And so Ilhan Omar makes this statement about comparing the United States by not opposing Israel, that she's equating us with terrorist groups, and she's calling Israel a terrorist nation, and she's actually inciting violence against Jewish people when she does this. Now see, as opposed to the previous story about Billie Eilish, who isn't any elected official at all and only has a small, you know, group of people. I mean, I'm not downplaying her fan base. I'm sure she's got a good fan base, but she's not a U.S. congressperson. You know, that's a very different thing. So when Ilhan Omar says something like this, well, then it does have an impact, because there are people who are going to respond to what she says. They shouldn't, but they will. And so then there is going to be violence against Jews in America because of what Ilhan Omar says. And rather than call it out, and rather than kick her off of committees that have to do with making policies about foreign nations and dealing with those things, Nancy Pelosi just excuses it, just, you know, sweeps it under the rug. It's no big deal. She clarified. We accepted the clarification. Problem solved. No biggie. No harm, no foul. Except 200 Jewish rabbis disagree. And so they wrote Nancy Pelosi a letter. I'm not going to read the letter. It's easy to find online, though. But they wrote her a letter, and they went into some pretty strong language to tell her, under no uncertain terms, that she needs to do something about this. And she doesn't need to just sit back and let people like Ilhan Omar run the Democrat caucus in Congress. And I would agree. I would absolutely agree. There was a time when Democrats and Republicans agreed on these sorts of things. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all Americans. Well, Ilhan Omar is one of those people from a previous show where I said that some people who are citizens probably shouldn't be citizens. I would put her among them. And again, like I said then, and I say now, that is not racist. That is based on her views about our country, and what she has said, and what actions she has taken against us, that she does not deserve citizenship. She's shown that she doesn't care about the American people. And yeah, I made a little note here. Is anyone still confused where Omar's allegiance lies? I'm not. If you are, let me just tell you, give you a hint. It's certainly not with the American people. Her allegiance is not with us. And she should be removed from Congress. She should have never been elected in the first place. With those views about America and she considers us terrorists, well then, I mean it's kind of a simplistic way to put it, but leave. If you think we're a terrorist country, then why are you here? I don't think we're a terrorist country. There's a lot of things our country does that I disagree with, our things our elected officials do that I am completely opposed to. But at the end of the day, I do believe in America, and I do believe that America is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I do stand with America and Americans to defend those things and our liberties. And Ilhan Omar instead is saying that we're evil, and that just isn't okay with me. I'm not okay with someone being in Congress and talking about our country that way. And so I stand with these rabbis, and I plead with Nancy Pelosi, please do something about this. You've got to do something about this. You can't let your party be taken over by people who hate America. That's just not gonna fly. That's just not good. And so that's it. That's all I've got. I'll be back after the break to close us out and talk about maybe what we're gonna discuss tomorrow. So one more break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. So I just want a real quick mention. I was on the radio today on WMAY with Jim Leach, and it was an interesting show. If you get a chance to listen to it. I did mention something about Tammy Duckworth not really being a Christian that kind of caused some controversy with some people. But I'll just sum it up like this. If you're a Christian, you do not support abortion because that's taking a baby's life, and the Bible tells us that God knows us even before he forms us in the mother's womb. So life begins at conception is actually, it could begin before conception. And so we need to value all life, all human life. And so if you don't value all human life, then I don't consider you a true Christian. So we'll just leave it at that. If anybody has any comments, want to talk about that with me, that's great. Please do. You can get a hold of me on Facebook. You can also email rviewforsenate@gmail.com. And one of those two ways you can get with me. And if you want to support the podcast, I'd ask you to do that. You can do that. There's where you're listening to the podcast, there's a link somewhere on the page. If you're on the web or if you're on the app, there's somewhere on the app to say support the podcast. You can do that. That helps us out. And even just listening to the podcast, just share it with people. And that helps us out because of the ad segments, we are able to keep this podcast on the air. I want to do this every day. So it takes money to do that. Unfortunately, that's the way of the world, right? That's how it is. So the more you can support us, the better, whether it's sharing, listening to podcasts, or actually making a monthly pledge donation, that would be great. Otherwise, I will see you all tomorrow with some more fantastic news stories, and you all have a wonderful evening. Welcome back to Conservative Talk with Tim Ardew, and happy Juneteenth. Today is Saturday, June 19th. I've got a few stories in the mix to talk about today. First, Democrats are whining because Catholic bishops won't offer communion to pro-abortion politicians. Wah, cry me a river. Second, Portland police abolish themselves. We'll talk about that. And then finally, VP Harris, Vice President Harris, has been taken off of Border Patrol. Well, we'll talk about those things after the break.
Welcome back. So, Democratic politicians are whining because Catholic bishops are talking about, some have already done it, others are talking about it, not allowing pro-abortion politicians to participate in communion. Now, it seems like here lately we've seen a large amount of Democrat politicians who are really trying to, they're trying to grow the base, I guess, and they're trying to appeal to Catholic voters. And so they're claiming to be Catholic. In fact, I on the radio program that I was interviewed on the other day, it was brought up about Tammy Duckworth being a Christian, whether she was a Christian or not. And you may recall I addressed that and said that while that's kind of a, you know, it's hard to say if someone is or isn't a Christian. The fact is there are some things that we just know Christians would support, and abortion is definitely not one of those things. In fact, I would say it is a sign that you are not a Christian if you support abortion. Now, I understand for someone who maybe doesn't understand what abortion is, or doesn't feel like that an unborn child is actually a human being, then perhaps I could understand that. An unborn child is a human being, however. And if I had any question about that, I would definitely research it before just deciding for myself that I just decided that this isn't a human being. Because that's exactly the sort of thinking that made slavery palpable for people, especially racially driven slavery. If we think of these people as not human or less than, then it's okay to own them. It's okay to have control over them. And in fact, there are many similarities between slavery and abortion. Unfortunately, abortion is a little more permanent toward the victim, whereas with slavery, there were survivors of slavery. And so so abortion is definitely a greater massacre as far as taking human lives than slavery was. And yet the same arguments are being made. This is my property. I can do what I want with it. That was the slavery argument. Abortion argument. This is my body. I can do what I want with it. Not recognizing the rights of that individual person. And yet, just like with slavery, where they wanted, the Southern Democrats wanted slaves to be counted toward how many legislators they would have, how many representatives in the House of Representatives that they would have. They wanted slaves counted as population, but not given the right to vote. In the same way, people who are wanting to have abortions want tax money to pay for those abortions. They want the government to foot the bill for it, but not actually allow this child to live. So they want some government benefit for something that is disastrous and terrible for a human being to go through. And so it's the same thing. We want the government to give us voting rights so we can keep slavery legal, but we don't want to actually allow these slaves to vote. So it's the same argument. It's just a different class of human being, if you will. There are no different classes of human being, actually, but it's just a different... It's not race, is what I'm getting at. Abortion goes beyond race because it doesn't really matter. Now, there are some arguments made that abortion does target black families more than it does white families. And the statistics support that. But I'm not even saying that. I'm not even getting into that. I'm just saying that abortion, period, it doesn't matter what race the baby is. Abortion is wrong. It's murder. It's illegal. It should be illegal. Murder is illegal. So just as we it's funny, we fight for laws to protect our right to own guns when the Second Amendment does that for us. It's funny that we also now want to fight for laws to protect against abortion when laws against murder already do that. It's just funny how that is. Like, we have laws to protect these things. We just don't abide by them when it comes to those particular things. So all that, then, we're talking about the Catholic bishops now aren't offering communion to politicians, Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter. It just so happens that more Democrats support abortion than Republicans, but they're not even specifying a party. They're not saying if you're a Democrat, you can't take communion. They're saying if you support abortion, you can't take communion. And Democrats are telling them, saying that they are weaponizing it politically. Well, no, abortion should not be a political issue. Democrats are the ones who argue that this is a human rights issue, right? Okay, well, if it's a human rights issue and it's not a political issue, then I believe that Catholic bishops definitely are within their right to say that someone who supports the murder of unborn children should not be able to partake in communion. I'm not even Catholic, and I am very confident that in my church, someone who supported abortion, we may allow them to partake in communion, but we're definitely going to counsel them on that, because that's not the right type of thinking for a Christian, especially. And apparently you would hope, if they're actually saved, that they just don't understand what it is that we're talking about. And I can understand that, because especially if you've had an abortion, you may feel that if you agree with pro-life arguments that this is a human being and that this is a life with rights, then you have to come to terms with the fact that you voluntarily agreed to take the life of that human being. And that's something that nobody wants to acknowledge, nobody wants to admit to. So I understand that it would be a very hard situation to be in. But the fact is it is. So, I'm behind these bishops. Not only because I am pro-life and I'm against abortion, but also because I believe that, that religion should not have politics pushing anything in it. So Democrats should stay out of what their Catholic bishops do or don't do. They shouldn't be urging them to do anything. That's they have the religious freedom to refuse communion for something that is a religious belief. And so just as they wouldn't offer communion to someone who who's a Buddhist, who wouldn't convert to Christianity, they would deny them communion. So it's the same thing. They're the ones that are politicizing it. They're the ones that are weaponizing it by banding together as Democrats, quote unquote. They're putting the name Democrat on their fight about this, instead of just individually as parishioners talking to their bishops about it. So they're the ones that are weaponizing it. They're the ones that are politicizing it. So I'm in favor of the bishops for sure. So that's all for that one. When we come back, we'll talk about Portland police. Got some movement going on there. Something interesting happening, and just see what we think about this. So we'll be back after the break. Welcome back. So Portland police, about 50 police officers actually, who are part of the rapid response team. have stepped down from that position, from that designation. Now, they haven't quit their jobs, thankfully for the people of Portland. They haven't quit being police officers, but they have decided that their union actually is behind them on this, has decided that it's getting pretty intense with people's reactions to police officers there. And they're hesitant on being proactive in their policing. And so this is causing some issues there. Corey Budworth, if you aren't aware, Corey Budworth was a Portland police officer who has been charged with fourth degree battery. And apparently there's a viral video. I actually haven't seen the video. Of course, people are going to say, well, if you see the video, then you'll agree with this. Well, you know, regardless, this story is what it is, that these police feel that the indictment of their fellow police officer was politically driven, that it was all just a anti-police Antifa sort of move. And so they've decided to respond in kind by choosing not to take part in the rapid response team. So what does this actually mean? Well, in the long run, possibly nothing, but they're not on their own. They're not alone. Other police officers in other places like New York and Chicago feel the same way and probably follow suit. I hope they do. I really do. That would be my take on this, is I absolutely hope that they follow suit. I honestly, and I understand, I don't live in these cities. I am thankful to live in a rural area where, you know, we know each other, where people, neighbors take care of one another. So I realize that I have kind of a unique view on it that possibly other people don't, that live in these cities. But honestly, I would not be against at all the entire police force just quitting, if they all just decided that they'd had enough and they just walked off the job, and see what people would do then, you know, when there's no one to answer that 911 call. What will they do then? Let's get the jump on it. You know, they want to abolish police. Let's do it for them. And I, you know, the union should do that. They should say, you know what, we're just going to strike. We're just going to shut down and, see how y'all deal with it on your own. Personally, I don't need the police to protect me. I can protect my own family. And I know a lot of other people who feel the same way, that the police aren't necessary for us. They're necessary for the people who can't defend themselves. And there are a lot of people out there who can't defend themselves. And unfortunately, they're the ones that are going to pay the price for this, which is sad. But at the same time, we got to send this message out. We got to let people know that that we're not okay with targeting police officers for these frivolous and politically driven lawsuits and charges, criminal charges. For doing their job, for doing what they're supposed to do. I saw also that they're going to change a lot of the ways that they, which they already have. Chicago put out a very long and detailed foot pursuit policy, which is you're really gonna teach these cops this when they're first coming in, and they're gonna have to learn all of this. And oh my gosh, I hope I don't break the rule on this, because in like one of the proposed changes, I don't know if it's in Chicago, but I know that it is proposed at least in Portland, is that if they don't change their no, actually I think it is the other way around. I think it is in Chicago. I think it was part of the foot pursuit policy. But if for instance a police officer is driving by and sees someone urinating in public, that they can't stop them. All they can do, basically, because it's kind of vague on what they can do, But it seems like what they're allowed to do is just yell out the window and tell the person to stop doing it. And then if they don't stop doing it, well, then you can do something about it. Well, I mean, where is the line? You know, did he stop? Did he not stop? How do we know that he stopped or didn't stop when I'm just driving by and I'm hollering at him? You know, there's no way to really hold anything accountable on that. So basically, it's just going to lead to police just erring on the side of caution and not doing anything about it. And that's what I'm saying. I think that should happen. And I think that we should let these people who are anti-police see what happens to their communities when the police are no longer stopping these sorts of things and no longer interfering with these sorts of things. Let them see where it leads, because we've seen where it leads. The police know where it leads. It's why we have the police. You know, it's not like someone just decided one day, hey, we ought to just have a group of people who go out and just randomly enforce arbitrary rules on people. Well, are these people not following those rules? Well, I don't know. We'll just have this group of people, and that way, if they aren't following these rules, then they'll get in trouble. That's not what happened. It was that people decided, hey, here are some rules that we ought to live by. And then someone didn't follow the rule, and then they said, well, what do we do when someone doesn't follow the rule now? We need to do something about this. And that's how security, that's how police were formed, was to protect society. And that's their job. It's not to protect an individual. It's to protect society from the individuals, in fact. Because that's who's harming society, is that the individuals that are committing these crimes. So, yeah, I hope they all quit. I mean, I really do. As far as, you know, just striking, just giving even a month. Give it a month. I guarantee you, you give it a month with no police, people will change their tune. Of course, they'll politicize it in a way to say that that somehow these... they're bad for not doing their jobs, you know, and that's typical Republican or conservative views, and it's not, of course, but that's how they'll push it. But either way, they'll learn that they actually need the police. So I'm standing with the police there. Good for them. Good for those 50 police officers. I hope it leads to more doing the same thing, teaching a lesson. And that's what they're there for. We should respect them for it. So yeah, when we come back from the break, talk about somebody else's patrol and stepping down, and how that's possibly not a good thing for us. I don't know. Maybe it is. Yeah, we'll talk about it when we come back after the break. Welcome back. So, Vice President Kamala Harris is back in the U.S. Not the USSR, back in the USA. Was she taking on Border Patrol? I thought she was supposed to be taking care of, taking the lead on the border. But apparently she's not doing that anymore. I don't know. Well, after facing criticism from both sides of the aisle, VP Harris is back in the States working on, quote, vaccine equality and voting rights. And actually, someone close to President Biden, the unnamed, of course, said, quote, it seems like these issues are more in her wheelhouse and definitely less controversial than immigration. Well, yeah, they are, because no one's against people being able to be vaccinated. No one's trying to deny vaccines to black people. I don't see why that's even a thing, vaccine equality, what that even means, and voting rights. We've got several amendments to our Constitution to allow people to have voting rights. So that's also not real controversial. I don't think anyone wants to deny voting rights to any U.S. citizen. It's funny, though, that would be the area that has to do with immigration. The problem is not with... with voting rights. It's with the citizenship of the people who are voting. And we don't want people to vote who aren't citizens. So, yeah, definitely less controversial. But is she, I guess, I got a feeling that somewhere in the near future, we're probably going to hear about someone else being appointed to the border, someone going to the border, because it's just, you know, even reporters can even only do so much. They're trying to support her. They're trying to get behind her, but even they can only do so much before you finally go, all right, look, you know, reporters are hitting her hard with it. You know, you haven't been to the border. Oh, I haven't been to Europe either. Yeah, well, you weren't assigned to Europe, or we would be saying, how come you haven't been to Europe? When you're assigned to the border, then we have to ask, why haven't you been to the border? Oh, you went to Guatemala. Okay, so what did you do there? What did we accomplish there? Oh, we're pushing for more legislation to give money to foreigners. Great, that sounds like a plan. That's definitely going to work. So you're just, it's more Democrat stuff, more liberal stuff. Raise taxes, take a piece of it for themselves, and then pass it on to a foreign country. That sounds like a good idea to me. No. No, it doesn't. Not actually. It does not sound like a good idea to me at all. So it's probably a good idea taking her off of Border Patrol, because she's definitely not up for the task. But at the same time, it would be nice if they just owned that and just said, you know what? She wasn't up to the task, so we got to have somebody else do it. But they're gonna play it off. You know, they're gonna say, no, she's still in charge, but she's got a team, and that team is going to be going to the border. I imagine that's what we're going to hear from the Democrats in the near future, is that she is still in charge, but she's got a team. And so she's going to take the lead on vaccine equality and voting rights. Good job, because those things are, you know, important. We don't have vaccine equality. How do we not have vaccine equality? And voting rights for citizens. Yeah, citizens can't vote. Anyway, yeah. So those are the topics for today. Probably not going to have a conservative talk tomorrow. Got a busy day. I probably won't be able to fit it in. If I do, it'll just be a quick thing. May do that. May not. We'll see. But I will definitely be back Monday regardless, and we'll have some more news to talk about then. In the meantime, if you have anything to talk about, you have anything to add to what I've talked about, or agree, disagree, whatever it might be, check me out on Facebook, the podcast. I do have a Facebook page, Conservative Talk with Tim Arview podcast. Facebook page. I also have my campaign Facebook page. I'm running for United States Senate, and that is Arview for United States Senate. That's the Facebook page. And then, of course, you can just find me on Facebook and message me directly. My name is Tim Arview. I'm also on Twitter, and you can also email arviewforsenate@gmail.com. So lots of ways to get a hold of me. Oh, and my campaign website, rvforillinois.com. So see, there's lots and lots of ways to get a hold of me. If you want to get a hold of me, I'm sure you can find me on the internet somehow. And I would love to hear your opinions. I would love to hear what you have to say. And if you want to support the show, the podcast, I'd greatly appreciate that. Somewhere, depending on what service you are using to listen to this podcast, somewhere on your screen will be something to support the podcast or to partner with us. I would appreciate that. You can become a monthly subscriber and give us a monthly amount donation that will help keep the podcast on the air. Helps us keep busy at these sorts of things. So if you can do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And either way, whether we are back tomorrow or on Monday, it was great talking to you today, and we will see you next time.